Fasten your seatbelt, turn up the radio. We're going on a road trip. I'm Glenn Moberg. At the end of this month, the free public access and government education cable TV channels in Wausau will stop broadcasting and go dark unless a miracle happens and enough funding comes forward from private sources in the next 3 weeks to keep those stations on the air. The city of Wausau and the cable company, Charter Communications, are fighting in court over who has the legal obligation, if indeed there is one, to pay for the stations. But many worry that Wausau may only be the first in a string of communities across the state to lose its public access channels as the effects of a recently passed state law become apparent. That law, commonly known as Act 42, strips individual cities of their rights to regulate cable companies, rights that they gained when individual franchise agreements were approved at the start of the cable era. Act 42 was designed to foster competition statewide by allowing new providers like telephone companies to hook up customers. But the public access and government channels may be lost in the process. Today on Route 51, we have John Jordan, the Wausau Area Public Access Cable Coordinator, who may be out of a job in 3 weeks. And joining us by phone, Mary Cardona, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association of Public Education Government Channels, or PEG Channels. We'll also be hearing from both parties involved in the Wausau dispute. In our studio, Wausau Mayor Jim Tipple, and we will be paying a pre-recorded interview with Tim Vowell, the Director of Government Relations for Charter Communications Cable TV in Wisconsin. Now, as always, we want your input. Is free public access TV in the local government channels important to you? If you live in the Wausau area, do you care that they may go dark at the end of the month? And if you live in another community, are you worried that the same thing might happen to you? You can call us at 261-6371 if you're in the Wausau area. That's 261-6371 or toll free at 1-800-780-9742. And let's welcome our guests. And before we go any further, John and Mary, you can now critique my introduction and tell me if there was anything legally or logistically wrong with it.
I don't, with what you were saying, I don't have any particular problems with what was said. We are in a state of transition here in Wausau because the city is not able to continue to fund the access channels in their entirety as they have in the past. And so we are looking for ways to keep the channels lit, either by getting funding from other communities that I serve or by donations from other parties or by selling airtime for the channels.
Well, we'll be looking into all of those options. John Jordan, who uses the PEG channels or the public access channels in the Wausau area?
We have a number of churches that have their Sunday services on the channel. We show high school sporting events, high school graduations, as well as government meetings from the city council and county board and school boards from surrounding areas.
So this isn't just a transmission site. You have people who are actually going out and videotaping these events, bringing them back, and then there's at least some editing that has to take place in order to get them into a form where they can go over the air.
That is true. Most of them are done by volunteers, or the churches provide their own services that they create and bring in a finished product for me to show.
What happens February 1st if those stations go dark?
Good question. I don't have a good answer. If the channels go dark, we will no longer carry the church services. We won't carry the government meetings, the high school sports. The city would lose and the community would lose a very valuable resource of disseminating information.
And how much money do you need to keep them running? Let's look for the entire year first.
My current annual budget is about $100,000. And so that's what I would need to keep the channels going at the rate that they are right now.
And to patch things up so you can go forward for another month or so?
If to make this transition from my past funding method to my whatever the new funding method would be, I'm looking for about $40,000 by the end of the month.
Good luck. Mayor, what were the trade-offs for you in making this decision?
It was a budgetary decision for the city of Wausau. We were dealt a lot of curves in our process. Lack of funding or revenue sources came back to us. And finally, in going over the budget several times, we probably spent the most time on this budget than we ever have. It came down to, can we continue to fund the public access channels? We made a decision that it was it has been a difficult problem over the last 3 years, as we've talked. And so this year we decided that maybe a different funding source would be appropriate.
If you had appropriated the money, what would you have had to cut out of the city budget?
Around $90,000 to $100,000. And obviously we looked at every aspect of the budget, police and fire and every aspect, and we still ended up making cuts across the board in various departments.
Mary, who will lose and what will we lose as a community if these stations go dark?
Well, I think people have to appreciate the fact that when you look at a cable television system, what you see are a lot of commercial channels. You see the Home and Garden Channel, you see the Golf Channel, ESPN, you know, TBS, old movies, old sitcoms. These are the channels that bring to you information about your own community. It actually allows you to create programming about your community. Every person who subscribes to cable has a reason for watching these channels. At one time or another, they'll want to watch a Common Council meeting or high school sport or an interesting issues discussion. So what we're going to be losing is the ability to easily use the cable system to communicate with each other in a community. And I think that's a severe loss, especially when you consider how newspapers are folding, how local radio stations have dwindling news divisions. Localism is dying. Diversity is dying. And these are one of the last places where we as a community can come together and talk and see ourselves reflected somewhere.
Mary, just very quickly, what is the Wisconsin Association of PEG Channels or Public Education Government Channels?
We were formed in 1998 as a professional organization. There are probably over 200 channels in Wisconsin offering these services, and a lot of them are very, very small. And so you had a lot of part-time or single, you know, person-run access centers, and they needed a professional organization to share ideas with, equipment ideas, that kind of thing. So it was a resource that was developed for networking for professionals in the area of access.
Apparently, the city of Wausau is really the first in the sense that the public access channels may go dark. Are you worried that with this new state law, Act 42, that this scenario might be repeated throughout the entire state of Wisconsin?
I'm extremely worried. Actually, the kinds of stations that have PEG fees in general are the stronger stations, because those are the cities that valued access enough to negotiate with the cable companies for more support. And so you have stations like Eau Claire and Hudson and Hartford and Janesville and Oshkosh, Rice Lake, Sturgeon Bay, Stevens Point, all of these very, very strong stations are going to lose large chunks of their funding in 1 year. And what we are trying to get across to the legislature this session is that unless they act, we are going to lose this community resource.
And I don't want to get too bogged down in minutia, but we are about to play, after a short break, some comments from Tim Vowell, the Director of Government Relations for Charter Communications, which is involved in litigation right now, or potential litigation with the city of Wausau over these issues. So could you explain to all of us what the difference is between a PEG fee and a franchise fee?
Sure. A franchise fee is money that a city collects from the cable operator as an expense of doing business. It was meant to pay the public something for a private company coming into a city and using their rights of way for private gain. So that money goes into a city's general fund, and it is used to help fund all services in a community. But it can also, of course, be used to fund PEG stations, and many cities do choose to use that money to fund PEG stations. A PEG fee is a dedicated fee. It can only be used to help fund a PEG station.
And in Wausau, Mayor Tipple, we had a PEG fee that had been negotiated with Charter Communications that went just to maintain the public access channels.
Yes, and that was a majority of the funding for us. And for the years 2008, 2009, and 2010, those fees we're still looking for.
Mayor Jim Tipple of the City of Wausau, Mary Cardona, she's with the Wisconsin Association of PEG Channels. We also have John Jordan, who is the director of the public access channels in Wausau. Those channels may go dark. If you're interested in this issue, give us a call at 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. That's 1-800-780-9742. We're going to hear from Tim Vowell of Charter Communications right after this short break.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing employee benefits administration, integrated health management, and pharmacy benefits administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. We're talking about public access television and the fact that the Wausau public access channels may go dark by February 1st. There is a dispute between the City of Wausau and Charter Communications. And Mayor, without going into details, because again, we are talking about pending litigation, Mayor Jim Tipple, why do you think Charter should be paying the city to operate these public access channels?
That's part of an agreement that we have with them, and I think what each person, each side, if you will, has a different interpretation of that, and then we are in the process of resolving that.
We did talk to Tim Vowell. He's the Director of Government Relations for Charter Communications, Cable TV, for the state of Wisconsin. He, as you could imagine, has a different perspective, and here is a section of that interview that we recorded earlier this week. The City of Wausau, they apparently feel that you at Charter Communications should be funding the Wausau public access channels.
We had a franchise, a local franchise with the City of Wausau. There were some obligations in that franchise for support of public access. It is our position that all of the obligations under that franchise have been satisfied, and we entered into settlement agreement with the city in April of 2008, and so we believe that we have no further obligations over and above the franchise fees that we pay with respect to public access obligations. I can't comment any further on that because the city has filed a claim, and so now we have some pending litigation around that, but we're confident that the court will rule in our favor in that regard.
Isn't there a sunset provision in Act 42,
yes,
that's statewide cable law, which requires you to pay public education and government fees for 3 years?
Yes.
Are you paying those fees to the City of Wausau?
No, because Act 42 requires that a cable operator continue to pay fees that were in an existing franchise as of a certain date, April of 2007, which was the case in Wausau. So that is the basis of their claim. The reason that we're confident that we have no further obligation is under federal law, any public access support that would be required of a cable operator falls within the definition of a franchise fee. And the maximum amount of franchise fees that a cable operator can be required to pay under law is 5% of their gross revenue.
Are you paying that 5%?
We are. And in the early years of the franchise, we only paid 2% plus the PEG fee.
Now, are you still collecting that PEG fee from cable subscribers in Wausau?
No.
You are not. So when they get their bill, there's nothing for a PEG fee that they have to pay to.
That's
the
correct.
69 cents. Now, other charter systems across Wisconsin, are there other public access channels in danger of going dark right now, or is Wausau an isolated case?
Wausau is the first one I've heard of. You know, one point that was made very clear by, you know, in the Wausau Daily Herald was the fact that the city continues to receive franchise fees. And in 2008, we paid more than $325,000. 2009 looks like it'll be slightly even higher than that. And so the access funding is not the fundamental trigger for public access.
You're saying that the city should be able to use those franchise fees and pay for public access.
The city has the choice to do that. And they have every right to use those funds for anything they want, but they have decided to use them for something other than public access, and yet, you know, it sort of feels like the finger's getting pointed at us.
Is Charter going through bankruptcy right now?
We have emerged from bankruptcy. We were in a Chapter 11 bankruptcy that was filed back in March, and we emerged in late November.
And those bankruptcy proceedings, is that in any way, shape, or form affecting your policy decisions regarding the payment of the PEG fees or the collection of the PEG fees or the public access channels in Wausau?
Absolutely not.
That's Tim Vowell, the Director of Government Relations for Charter Communications Cable Television in the state of Wisconsin. And if I can summarize his main argument, he seems to be saying that federal law requires that cable companies only pay municipalities 5% of their gross revenue as franchise fees. He says Charter is doing that. Therefore, they don't owe the city of Wausau any additional money, regardless of what the state law and Act 42 say about them having to pay these PEG fees, because federal law overrules state and local laws.
Well, I'd like to respond to that. That is just wrong. if that were the case, then there would be no PEG fees anywhere. So that's just, it can't be. What he's trying to argue is that in federal law, it says that if there are, if there's money that goes to a PEG station for operating, it can be deducted from the 5% franchise fee. However, the PEG fee was designed to help with equipment costs, and that can be above and beyond the 5% franchise fee. In addition, if you had an agreement with the city and you as a cable operator agreed to provide funding for an access station above and beyond the 5%, whether it was operating or equipment, it's an agreement. You are required to provide that funding. It's very interesting to me that he's using that argument to not pay the PEG fees, because it's very clear to me that Act 42 says he has to pay those PEG fees. Whatever he was paying prior to the institution of Act 42, those are the fees that he should be continuing to pay as Charter Communications through January 1, 2011. You know, he's chasing a completely different argument that I think has no merit.
Mayor, Tim Vowell mentioned the Barbara Morgan column that was in the Daily Herald, in which she said that Wausau area cable subscribers are already paying the city $330,000 a year in franchise fees, but it only costs $90,000 to run the public access channels. Kind of a blunt question here. Aren't you ripping off cable subscribers by taking all of that money from them and not using at least a fraction of it for public access?
You know, it's a point of view, but since we took over or established the cable access channel in 1993, I believe, we have funded it solely through the city of Wausau's efforts. We have never asked, that I know of, any area community to help us in that process. A lot of communities use the franchise fees to, as Mary said earlier, it goes to the general fund. That's why PEG fees are important. Although the last couple of years, and I'd like John to respond to that, the last couple of years, we've been short even on the operational, so we have gone into franchise fees to help fund it.
But before John gets into that, Mayor, even if you fund those PEG channels for $90,000, you can still put an additional $240,000 of those franchise fees paid by the cable subscribers into the general fund. Isn't that enough?
Well, we've always done it that way, and that doesn't make it right or wrong, but we have always put franchise fees into our general fund. A lot of communities do the same. When it falls short, we dip into it, but it funds other things. The franchise fees are designed fees that when cable companies use our right-of-ways, that's the fee for utilizing that. It has everything to do with the right-of-ways and the payment of the right-of-ways for the use of their services.
And if you did take $90,000 to pay for the cable channels, what would you have to cut from the Wausau City budget?
You know, that's a tough question, but a very good question. We would have to look at other areas. Unfortunately,
police, fire.
It could be police, it could be fire, but every time you, we're 72% employee driven. So typically our solutions fall on personnel. And so that's probably the area we would have to go to get some relief.
John Jordan, I'm going to let you comment on Tim Vowell's remarks, and we do have just a minute and a half here before I have to break for news.
The comment that he was saying that he was not required to, the city had a valid franchise agreement in place and that they were paying PEG fees and they were paying the 5%. That settlement that he was talking about was for underpayment of earlier fees. And so they should be paying the PEG support fees for this three-year period of 2008, 2009, 2010. And so we had a valid agreement that they should have been paying.
We're talking to John Jordan. He's the public access director for the Wausau public access or PEG channels, the cable television channels that are free. They cover government meetings. They cover forums, community events, sporting events, religious services. They will go dark on February 1st unless some other funding mechanism is available. Also, Mary Cardona with the Wisconsin Association of PEG Channels. And we also have with us Mayor Jim Tipple of the city of Wausau. Only people missing are you. What do you think of this entire conflict going on in the city of Wausau? And are you worried that your cable television channels, if you live outside of Wausau, could they be next? Give us a call at 261-6371, 261-6371, or 1-800-780-9742. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51. We will be back with more after this news. I'm Glenn Moberg. We're back on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. The subject today, the fact that the city of Wausau's free government education, public access channels, PEG channels, whatever you want to call them, they could go dark by February 1st if funding isn't found to make up for these PEG fees that, according to the mayor of Wausau, are supposed to be provided by Charter Communications. According to Charter Communications, they have no obligation to do it. And meanwhile, people who watch religious services or keep up on government meetings or want to see political forums or high school sporting events, they will no longer have that service available to them. John Jordan, Wausau Area Public Access Coordinator, Jim Tipple, Mayor of Wausau, Mary Cardona, the Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association of Public Education Government Channels, all with us today. We've also heard and will hear from Tim Vowell, the Director of Government Relations for Charter Communications Cable TV in Wisconsin. We want to hear from you. Is public access television important to you? With newspapers no longer carrying local content, with television stations cutting back on their television news departments, is this another area of information that's vital to the public that is in danger of going dark? 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. And we do have a caller on the line, Pat in Wausau. You're on Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Hello, Pat.
Hi. I have a question concerning the money that cable still owes public access. They're trying to recover some amount of money. How much money are they trying to recover? And will that money then go directly to public access, or does it go into like a slush fund in the city general fund?
Jim Tipple, I think that one's directed at you.
Sure. The public access fees, PEG fees, would go directly to fund the operational budget of the cable access TV. They would not go into, and that's what they've always done, is they've funded the programming, the staff that runs public access. And your question is a very good question, and that's why we're kind of in this situation today.
Okay. And how much money are we talking about recovering?
I think, and John, correct me if I'm wrong, it's Oh, I got that. It's around 65,000 for 2008, and it goes up a little bit slightly for 2009 and also for 2010. So you're looking at about 180,000 rounded off.
Right.
John Jordan, what are you looking at doing in order to come up with this shortfall? Are you changing your business plan? Are you coming up with any concept to find an alternate way of funding these channels?
There is some options that we're looking at, and these options are options that I would be needing to be looking at after 2010, because that's when the sunset provisions for PAIC fees disappears unless state legislation changes that. But some things that I'm looking at doing would be charging, say, the local churches for time on the channel, charging for messages that get put up on the message board, asking the surrounding communities to maybe cost share for maintaining the channel, because we have not received in the past the money from the outside communities, even though they are providing it.
Now, let's we'll look at this idea of charging money to actually air the programs, but you're saying that there are all of these other communities that are paying franchise fees, and none of the money is going to public access.
That is correct.
What are these communities, all in the Wausau area?
That would be like Weston and Schofield and Mosinee and Rothschild, the town of Rim Mountain. Any municipality or township that has cable can require and request the 5% of the gross revenue of money generated in their area.
And why haven't they been helping out, Jim?
I'm not real quite certain. I don't know if they've just been failed to. We just haven't asked them. I don't know the history behind it. It's just that this has always been this way, that we funded it totally. And hopefully creating some awareness today, like we're trying to do, we'll get some cable partners with us and continue to fund this channel.
Well, I guess we'll see what happens. Now, the stations are located in Wausau City Hall. Do you think that's part of the problem?
It might be. And one of the things that we're looking at to make it more of a regional channels or regional channels is to move the stations out of City Hall. And one of the locations that we're looking at is moving onto the UW-Marathon County campus. There has been interest expressed for welcoming us. The city is not looking at getting rid of the channels. They have no problem maintaining the channels in City Hall.
Could move out of Wausau City Hall, you'd be looked at more as being more of a regional operation instead of a City of Wausau operation.
I would think so, yes.
And, Pat, you were asking monetary questions. Are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
What do you think about the way things are funded right now and the fact that it's only the City of Wausau and none of these other regional communities?
Well, I've never quite understood why other regions aren't involved, and I guess I really don't know too much about this financially, but it just seemed that.
Any other comment you'd like to make before we move on?
No, I guess you know.
Do you watch cable television? Do you watch the public access channels?
No, I do not have cable to watch. So to me, it's.
But how it affects the budget is of interest to everybody, whether they've
right.
got cable or not.
And you know, you're talking about recovering money, but I don't think you ever mentioned how much we were recovering, how much in the arrears we are, and if this is going to fund other things or just public access, and if it's going to fund the director's salary or just what's happening here. I wanted to clarify just a bit.
Did we clarify that for you?
Yes, you did.
Thank you.
And
right.
I will hang up so others can call you.
All right. Thanks so much, Pat. Those numbers again, 2616371 or 1-800-780-9742. And Mary Cardona, John is talking about charging money to put some of these programs on the air. Is that something that other PIG channels, public education channels, are resorting to?
I think that other channels are looking at other revenue streams. I can't tell you one other station that actually charges for time on the channel. when these stations were created, it was envisioned that it would be a partnership between the cable operator and the municipality through these fees. It was never designed to need a lot of revenue from specific users. The idea was it would be available to everyone, you know, first come, first serve, non-discriminatory access to the television.
But as we're seeing, we're in a changing environment here, and if we've got this new state law that is putting public channels at risk all across the state, maybe they've got to look at changing their business plan.
Yeah, and I think that's true. The situation we find ourselves in, though, however, is a difficult one, because once Act 42 was passed, Charter, for example, moved our stations to hard-to-find places. So now we're in the 90s and in the 900s on their lineup. The 90s are an area where FM radio stations have their frequencies, and we're having a lot of interference problems and reception problems. In fact, in some areas, our channels are being knocked off the air because of it. In the 900s, in the digital area, the problem is that sometimes boxes are not being mapped properly, so people don't see them there. Most cable companies, I would venture to say all of them in Wisconsin, do not list the names of our public access channels on their lineups, either in print or in the electronic formats, so people can't say, oh, yes, that's the Wausau Area Access Channel. There's no name there. They do not post the schedule of programming on their print or electronic program guides. So they do their best to bury our channels and to not recognize that we exist. And that creates a really hard situation for us when we're talking about raising revenue.
Are you talking about changing state law? I know there's an Assembly Bill 606 that's currently before the state legislature.
Yes, and one of the things it would say is that every single cable subscriber should be able to see our channel, that these channels should be placed alongside other basic channels, that they should have the same functionality, that if a commercial channel is listed on the program schedule, you know, the electronic program schedule, well, then we should have the same functionality so that people can find us. One of the problems we're having, for example, in the area where AT&T has come into as a result of this law, and by the way, AT&T serves, you know, the metropolitan areas around Milwaukee, Madison, the Fox Valley, and they have now built out their system in their existing footprint, about 30%. So they now offer video service in about 30% of their existing footprint. But what they do with access is they put them under a series of menus on Channel 99. And so if somebody wants to see an access channel on AT&T's system, they actually have to go through a series of menus that takes 45 seconds to go through and 25 seconds to leave. So if you want to watch a council meeting, you have to invest 45 seconds in, 25 seconds out before you can go to another channel. That's the kind of thing we're up against here. And it's hard to convince an advertiser or an underwriter that we have viewers when we're being buried in this way.
Especially if you're looking to raise money by charging people to run their programs, even a nominal fee. We did ask Tim Vowell of Charter Communications, their government relations coordinator, about Assembly Bill 606. And this is what he had to say about it. Do you support AB 606, the assembly bill that's being considered right now?
No.
Why not?
You know, Act 42 was well negotiated, and all the parties were at the table. And the phone companies were there, the League of Municipalities. In fact, the municipalities won 8 out of 11 of the specific points that they wanted, and I wish that the cable industry could have had such a success record as that. With all the interested parties at the table, we all walked away with a little bit, but not everything that we wanted. So it was a well-negotiated bill. It's also only been in effect for a short period of time. It appears to be working very well. It was designed to increase competition throughout the state, and it has dramatically done that in terms of the number of new operators coming into the business. And so it appears to be working very well. And so why would we roll back something that, number one, isn't fully tested, and number two, appears to be very successful?
And Mary Cardona, I'll let you respond to that.
Well, first of all, we were not at the table. The bill was crafted by AT&T in the cable industry. We actually asked to be at the table and were rebuffed. By the time we had any input, it was well along the way to becoming law, and we were thankful for any crumbs that fell off the table. So, no, we were not there.
Let me ask Mayor Jim Tipple. He indicated, Tim Vowell indicated, that the municipalities got 8 out of 11 things that they wanted. Does that ring a bell with you?
Obviously, at that time, I was on the league's board of directors, and I was very familiar with what was going on. We got a lot of things that we were asking for, but some key components that we didn't get are some of the things we're struggling with and talking about today. In any bill that's ever been written, it always has, it takes the time to see, you know, is it tested? Are there things that need to be changed? And that's why you have repair bills. That's why we're looking at something now, because there are problems that exist and we're trying to fix them.
And John Jordan, how important is this whole matter of where the channels are placed, whether they're in that 2 to 15 spectrum where you're right alongside the local TV channels like 7, 9, 12, and 20, and as opposed to being up around channel 99, which is where Charter's got you right now?
It is very important because people would find channel our programming by channel surfing. And it's easy to go up and down a few channels if you're trying to find the network things, and that they see a parade. Oh, there's so-and-so on the parade float. Or you, as they're channel surfing, they say, oh, what's the council talking about today? Or, oh, there's that football game. And so you find a lot of people would find your channels if it's by the network stations, because they are the ones that are most watched. And we've had in Wausau a big problem with the interference from radio stations. For example, the mayor can't receive, or his wife can't watch him at his council meetings because they can't hear us, because they hear a country radio station.
Well, Mayor, I guess that could be good or bad, depending on
because
how
I don't
the council
talk,
meeting is
because I don't talk shop at home. That's the only way she knows what I do during the day. But I did support the local economy, and I bought a new TV, so now we can get cable at home.
And John Jordan, Sarah from Wausau gave us a call, and she wants to know if anyone knows how many people watch these public access channels. Have you done any kind of statistical research? And does it really matter if it goes away?
I think it does matter if it goes away, because it's an outreach that people who can't afford broadcast time otherwise to get the message out. As to whether or not, I don't know how many people exactly watch my channel at any given time, because the Nielsen ratings or the commercial rating services deal with a large geographic area of multi-county, 9 to 12 counties, and I only serve the eastern half of Marathon County, so my viewing audience of 22,000 subscribers is not large enough to impact the rating books.
John Jordan, the Wausau Area Public Access Cable Coordinator, he may be out of a job in 3 weeks. Those public access channels are going to go dark in 3 weeks unless they come up with some funding to keep them alive. Mary Cardona, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Association of PEG Channels. We also have Wausau Mayor Jim Tipple with us, and we've been listening to some comments from Tim Vowell, the Director of Government Relations for Charter Communications Cable in Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. Still time to get your comments in. If public access TV, if these free channels are important to you, give us a call, 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742.
Support for Wisconsin Public Radio comes from UMR, providing Employee Benefits Administration, Integrated Health Management, and Pharmacy Benefits Administration for self-funded employers throughout the U.S. More about UMR at umr.com.
I'm Glenn Moberg. This is Route 51 Regional Talk Radio. About another 6 minutes left to the program. If you'd like to get your comments in about public access TV, PEG channels, the dispute in Wausau, which threatens to shut those channels down and keep people from watching religious services, sporting events, government meetings. Are you worried that maybe a very important conduit for information is going dark at the same time that local newspapers are having trouble. Local TV stations are cutting their news budgets. Local radio stations are no longer covering news. Is public access television important to you? And if not, why not? 261-6371 or 1-800-780-9742. Mary Cardona, what are the chances that Assembly Bill 606 is going to pass, realistically speaking?
We are very hopeful. I think that we anticipate changes in AB 606. We don't anticipate every single last provision AB 606 will end up in a final version, but we are confident that some version of AB 606 will pass the Assembly, and we hope we have enough time to see it through the Senate. The session is really quite short this year. It ends at the end of April, early May, so we have a lot of work to do before the end of the session this year. After that, there is no more legislature until the next group.
Who are some of your sponsors in the Assembly?
We have 25 sponsors in the Assembly, including one Republican, Gary Bice, from the Sturgeon Bay area. We also have Mark Pocan. We have... you're catching me without my list.
Louis Malepsky and Stevens Point.
Absolutely, Louis Malepsky.
But there are 20 sponsors. That's the point I wanted to get across.
Yes.
Across
the two houses, we have 31 people in support who are co-sponsoring the bill right now.
And John Jordan, realistically, what do you think your chances are of getting some kind of funding Band-Aid in place in the next 3 weeks in order to make all of this happen?
I think the chances for something to happen to keep the channels going are fairly good. Whether or not I have a position or not is not nearly as important as to make sure the channels stay lit.
Explain that to me. What are you willing to do?
Well, if it makes it easier to keep the channels going, I'm willing to go from full-time to half-time. Because the channels is important for the senior citizens. It is important for those people who aren't able to get out in inclement weather to see and listen to the various discussions and activities through the community. And so it is whether or not I personally have a job or not is not nearly as important as making sure the channels stay lit, because once they go dark, to get them back is more difficult. And to get them back does not guarantee that everybody will be able to see them once they get back lit again.
The Wausau Daily Herald had a editorial on Sunday in which they said that even if these cable channels go dark, perhaps we could still have local events, local forums, local city council coverage on the Internet. Are these public access channels a dinosaur, and maybe the Internet is the way to go?
Well, recent Nielsen studies show that online video viewership represents less than 2% of all TV viewing. And so that's less than 2% of the viewing TV viewers watch it via the Internet. And so if you're trying to maintain a community of selecting a whole bunch of people, just having all the programming just on the Internet, you're going to be losing a lot of people. Now, for those people who say who don't have cable for whatever reason, it is possible, and there are mechanisms that I was looking at in putting into place to put meetings on the Internet so that those folks who have satellite could download and watch the government meetings and sporting events via the Internet. If the funding was available, we could still look at doing that.
But I'm going to ask Mary Cardona to weigh in on this, and we're down to our last 30 seconds or so here, Mary. What do you do when people tell you that public access channels are dinosaurs and need to go away?
Well, I tell them they should walk over to their public access station and check it out. They are amazing. It's a great place to meet other people in your community. It's a great place to learn a skill. It's a great place to send your kids to learn a skill and to learn how to work together. I have had so many great personal experiences working at an access station. It's so edifying to do something for your community with other community members. And there's you can't get that from YouTube, and it would be a real sad day for all of us if these stations go.
And Mary, you're going to have the last word. We do want to thank today's guest, John Jordan, the Wausau Area Public Access Cable Coordinator, Mary Cardona, Executive Director of Wisconsin Wausau Pig Stations, also Wausau Mayor Jim Tipple, and Tim Vowell, the Director of Government Relations for Charter Communications Cable TV in Wisconsin. I'm Glenn Moberg of Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks to our executive producer and our on-air producer, Rick Ryer. Also our online producer, Scott Clark. Thanks as always to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. And a reminder, you can now follow our adventures on Route 51 on both Facebook and Twitter. That's it. Thanks for riding along with us today. Until next week, we are heading out of town.